Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, I talk to Jaina Dahl, owner and creator of the Drama Notebook website, dramanotebook.com. We're part of a mutual admiration society, Jaina and I are, as we both believe so strongly in the importance of drama in the classroom. This was a really lovely talk with a few drama games thrown in there and ending with the very important question, where is drama in education going? Here's Jaina. All right. So hello out there, our podcast listeners. I have the great opportunity to speak with lots of people in our field of our drama and education, and it's always awesome when one of them is willing to come on podcast and talk to me. So today I have Jaina Dahl, and she is from the Drama Notebook. Hi, Jaina.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. Oh, yes, you are your morning, we're afternoon, because you guys are out of Portland, Oregon, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Has that always been out there? Have you been a West Coaster all your life?
I was actually born and raised in Portland, Oregon.
So you've never left.
I never left.
That's okay. I'm an Ontario girl, as an Ontario, Canada, and I've never left here either. So some places you just never leave, right?
Well, it's so beautiful here, and you know, it's actually a really inspiring state in which to write, because if you go an hour and a half in any direction, you can hit the ocean, the mountains, rivers, the desert. So we've got like everything within driving distance, and the state is just, I'm always in awe of how spectacular it is, you know, just in a short distance.
It's totally on my list, my to-do list of places to go. So
Just come visit me.
Now you've made it even more interesting. I'm just like, I love that lots of different textures is really the wrong word, but like nature textures. That's really cool.
Yeah, the landscapes.
That'll do. That's a good word. Okay, so you are the creator, yes, of the Drama Notebook.
Yes.
Which is an online site, dramanotebook.com, and you bill it as the world's largest collection of drama activities, which is by far, I think, the most excellent subtitle.
Well, I can't find anything bigger or better, so I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, why not? Absolutely. And but the first thing I want to do is kind of start with you. And what's your theater background? Like, let's build up to where you are now. But where did you come from?
Yeah, well, I discovered theater when I was a youngster, and actually went to college and got a theater degree. I felt like that was just a really beautiful way to reach mankind, you know, in terms of telling a story on stage. I fell in love with the artistry of it. So I got my degree in theater, and then I spent 12 years in professional theater, both as an actor, director. I really wanted to focus more on the playwriting and directing side of it. So I spent 12 years in that. And then I got married and had a son and kind of fell away from it for a period of time. But then when my son hit first grade, I realized there was a remarkable lack of meaningful drama programming in the school system. And so I actually created a drama outreach organization that grew very quickly from 6 schools on our first term to over 100 schools ultimately.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I really felt it was important for youngsters to have access to, you know, not just a drama program, but a drama program that was transformational by nature. So I ran that for 8 years, and one interesting thing I did was I really wanted to support my teaching artists. I have 30 teaching artists. I had 30 teaching artists. And I felt like in order to give them a really high level of support, I will provide them with a notebook full of games and activities and little scripts that I wrote. And you know that every teacher who came to work for me said, they just said, wow, nobody's ever given me something like this, and this is amazing. And so I kept writing, and I just kind of did it out of the love that I had for the program and the kids and the teachers. So, you know, in the wee hours of the night and on the weekends and in the summer vacations, I would be writing more stuff for them. And it eventually grew to be too large to even fit in a folder. So I created a really simple little secret website where they could log in and have access, you know, pick and open folders. And so it probably grew to over, it's probably over 2,500 pages now.
Wow. Over 2,500 pages. That's amazing.
I'm not going to attempt to count it anymore, Lindsay. I did in the beginning, but so once that, you know, then in 2008, I was kind of struggling a little bit with that business, you know, a service business serving all those schools. It sounds like it would be, you know, extremely lucrative, but it really wasn't. But I had a deep passion for what I was doing. So I started to think, how else can I serve educators and kids? And it occurred to me, you know, if my own teachers appreciate this material, I wonder if teachers all over the world would appreciate it as well. So I spent 18 months researching and developing membership websites and then formatting the bulk of my material and organizing it in such a way that it would be really easy for people to find exactly what they needed. So it was totally, you know, an unproven thing. I didn't know. I was just going to put it out there. So I opened that about 3 years ago. I launched Drama Notebook online, and now we have over 1,000 members worldwide. And I actually got to the point where I couldn't handle running the outreach organization and also doing the holding the website. So I sold my outreach organization to the local children's theater, and now they're joyfully continuing the work. It quadrupled their outreach, and you know, I love them, they love me, the work continues on, and now I'm free to just serve teachers with content, new material.
Why did you decide to, because the Drama Notebook is very much a comprehensive website as opposed to a single ebook, and why did you decide, let's make it a website for members as opposed to something like a book to sell? Why that particular platform?
Mostly because it was working in practice in my own, you know, with my own organization, that teachers, one of the things that I really encouraged teachers to do was to work with an individual group of kids and meet their needs and do the things that they were very passionate about, which meant having access to a huge amount of material that they could pick and choose was more advantageous than handing them a book and saying, here, do this.
Yeah.
Because as a teacher, I would say 50% of the equation is offering something that you personally are excited about. And my teachers loved the idea that I said, look, you're overqualified to do this, so I'm just going to empower you to do what's right for the kids rather than telling them what to do. Plus, I don't know if you've ever bought a book that's 2,500 pages. Is there a book? The shipping alone, you know? Now, that said, I've also been contracted with Kaplan Early Learning to custom create 9-week lesson plans that do say, this is what you do within each hour every single week for 9 weeks. And I'll be adding a store before the end of the year that has 10 of those. They're all themed. So if you're a teacher who does want to just, you know, be told that, like, you can pick a theme like Monsters and Nightmares or Ye Old Village or Around the World in Stories. So you can still pick one that appeals to you, but the work is already spelled out and the lesson planning is completely done.
I find that that's the access at fingertips is one of the most useful things for teachers, because they just don't have the time. you know, like if we can provide this kind of, like, lesson plans, for example, they're going to put it into practice. They just need a place to find it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they can relax and have fun and feel like an expert is guiding their hand, but then there's also freedom for them to toss in whatever else, you know, wild and crazy thing they want to do.
Where does your material come from for your exercises?
Well, originally I'm friends with Gary Schwartz, who was, and he lives in my area, who was Viola Spolin's protege.
Oh, okay.
So originally a lot of it was Spolin inspired work. And I actually got on the phone with him and said, hey, do you mind if I transpose a lot of this? And he said, no, absolutely. You're what Viola would call a mensch, which I thought that was a bad word. So I got his permission. And then, you know, originally it was just all those improv games that sort of float out in the universe that doesn't no one person in particular has ownership of. And we all make it into something else. So that's what was the beginning of Drama Notebook, but I'm just super creative. So, you know, I just started making things up and giving it to my teachers, and I was teaching myself. So I had a lot of opportunity to try new things. And I don't know, I just feel like my stream of creativity is endless. Just when I think I can't come up with another idea, 10 more pop in. I don't know if that happens. That happens to you too, huh?
You know what? I find when you can channel it into a specific focus, that where you're just not sort of, you know, flinging ideas everywhere, but focus is what makes creativity endless for me. And I think for the same for you, because you're just focused so on the coming up of exercises.
Yeah. Just when I, like, for example, if I need to teach voice projection, everybody knows about bear in the back row, where you put three bears, you know, and you have the kids, three bears in the audience, one close, one in the middle, and then one far away. And then the kids have to project loud enough for the bear in the back row to hear them. Well, I get tired of using that same old thing. So, you know, I'll just think to myself, how else can I make a voice projection game? And I came up with one that's, it's called What? And it's a little old man one kid plays a little old man working in a candy store, and the other kid is a customer. So the kid comes in and child number two has to ask for a specific kind of candy, but the old man's hard of hearing, so he has to say what? And then the person has to say, you know, may I have a Hershey bar, please? What? I can't hear you. May I have a Hershey bar, please? So by the third one, they're really projecting their voice. And then the kids switch, and the little kid becomes the old man, and a new customer comes in.
Awesome.
So I just made it up, you know?
When you come up with something new, do you test it? Do you take it to some kids and go, here, try this? What's your process?
Well, because I taught for myself for 8 years, now I know whether something is going to work or not. So I don't always test it. I just know it's going to work, Lindsay. And then I made up that game, set it out, you know, put it out there for all my teachers. Then I went and taught a class, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try out that game that I made up. And the kids loved it. They wanted to play it all day long.
And work on their voice projection at the same time. It's it's a win-win.
I mean, really, I'm 47 going on 7. I know what kids like.
Do you think that's why your exercises mainly focus on K-8? Do you think that's why that's your primary focus in terms of the Drama Notebook?
Yes, I have a personal joy for it. Yes, absolutely. And I don't have a lot of experience teaching high schoolers. That said, in the near future, I am collaborating with someone who is very highly specialized in that, and she's going to help me develop fresh, original stuff for high school teachers. And I also have a lot of, let's face it, drama games work from ages 4 to 90.
So absolutely.
So I have plenty of high school teachers who say, I absolutely love your site. I get so much out of it, you know, and I would like to provide them with more.
Awesome. Well, keep us apprised of your when your high school stuff becomes available. We'd absolutely love to share that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and what is the number one thing that drama teachers are looking for, you think, when they come to your site?
Well, I would say a lot of teachers have been asked to teach drama and they've never done it before.
Right.
And so that I'm very good at taking somebody from knowing absolutely nothing to feeling competent and excited and enthusiastic in, I would say, an hour and a half. If they spend an hour and a half on my site, they're going to feel really good. And then they, you know, keep going from there. The other kind of teachers who tend to gravitate to my site they're a little burned out. They've got their same old books and their same old go-to activities, and they're just not feeling inspired. But because I have so many things that I created with my teaching artists and, you know, refined and worked on over the years, and I keep making new stuff, they go on and they see things they've never seen before, and it reignites their passion for what they do.
Isn't that a cool thing when you can do that for someone?
Oh, I love getting the email from the teacher who said she was actually not going to teach that year. Then she stumbled on my site, and now she's all excited all over again. It just warms my heart.
I think more than anything, I think teaching is one of the most difficult jobs. I'm only in the classroom, you know, as a guest artist. So I come in and I'm something special, and I get the kids on their best behavior, And I know just by talking to teachers just how difficult it is day to day, and how much more it is than just giving information. So I think we're both on the same page where when we can make a teacher's life easier, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yes, and I'm glad that you brought that up because, yes, Drama Notebook is a business. Yes, it makes money, but at the very deepest core of my being, I desire to serve and uplift those people who are doing this incredibly meaningful work in the world, and really igniting children's imaginations and bringing them together through music, stories, and dance is a world-changing endeavor. And so I actually feel very deeply honored that I can be a part of making their lives easier and inspiring them and having a hand in what they're doing.
Earlier, you talked about how you wanted to start a program that makes drama transformational. And do you think that's why? Because it is sort of a world-changing element?
Well, I imagine that absolutely yes. And I imagine my own personal experience with drama was that it took me so deeply into a place of self-acceptance and then a feeling of really belonging. And this is like a way to be a human being, not just, you know, an actor, but it's a way for us to, theater provides a way for us to connect on a deeply human level and to imagine a different world. You know, we can actually change the terrible things that are happening in this world. If we tap into, as Einstein said, you know, imagination is more important than knowledge. So I look at a kid who comes into my drama program, I'm not going to try to make them an actor. I'm going to try to help them feel really good about themselves, their relation to others, and their ability to share their creativity.
Well, that would be transformational, I think.
Yeah, so there's a deeper level, you know, my intention is to have a deeper level impact. And on the surface, it looks really fun, but I desire to have a hand in changing the world.
I think drama games, at their core, are really the most important skill-building activities that kids can learn for all the reasons that you just said, you know, that, I mean, to give a kid self-confidence, to give a kid an outlet for finding how to be creative when all they've been told their whole life is that you're not creative. Well, you're not, you can't act. You can't, all the quote unquote stereotypes of what theater and drama is, when in actual fact, it's all of those games that give them the skills that will make them successful.
Oh, yeah, here's where we start preaching to the choir.
Because
your last podcast was all about, you know, how drama games and theater and specifically address executive functioning of the brain and how it absolutely relates to, you know, like the mandates and the standards. It totally speaks to that. Kids learn collaboration, innovative thinking, the ability to synthesize two concepts. You know, it's
all of the standards that they're supposed to be learning, like the core curriculum standards. I can't think, of course, we're biased, but I can't think of a better place to learn them than in a drama class, you know?
No, and then they use the arts program. They'll put, you know, under a broad sweeping, you know, the arts are very important, but specifically theater, because theater incorporates visual art, dance, music, and literacy. You know, it's all in the one art form. It's so amazing.
I know. It's you and me. We're just basically going. We're just ping ponging about how much
patting each other on the back. Yeah.
No, you're so good. No, you're so good. Oh, we're so good. Okay. Okay. So all around this, do you have a what's your favorite? And I know you have 2,500 pages. So, but what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite activity that just you that you just see kids shine at that just makes you, you know?
That is so hard. That's unfair.
I'll bet.
But I will tell you this: the favorite thing that I have on Drama Notebook is a lot of encouraging teachers to do what's called a devised show. And this is, by the way, part of the reason that I love your work, because you have a script, but you have this beautiful ability to create an ensemble piece that's very artistic and has room for all kinds of different interpretations. So I am not a big fan of learning by rote, learning song and dance steps and putting 120 kids on stage at once and, you know, cramming them into a production that's stressful for everyone. So I'm a huge advocate of devised theater, and a lot of teachers are really scared of it because
it means
that you're going to make up your own show. But, you know, I have a lot of really solid instructional, you know, materials that show you exactly how to put on a devised show and how to pick your theme. And then I even have a whole list of probably over 100 themes in case you're, you know, not in case you're not feeling creative. By the time you skim through that list, you'll start feeling creative. Then the other thing that I have on Drama Notebook that I'm super excited to offer is they're called print and play games. So let's say, you know that game Bucket or Lines in a Pocket?
Yes.
Okay, so for those in the listening audience who don't know, two people on stage improvising a scene, and then all of a sudden the director calls out line, and the kid pulls a line, an arbitrary line out of his pocket, something like, oh my goodness, did you notice that turtle behind you? Or, you know, some weird arbitrary line, and they have to work it in. Well, usually you just read the description of that and have to make up the lines yourself. But on Drama Notebook, I've got, it's probably, it says 50 print and play, but I think it's 75 now. Where
Wow. You
just print out the list and cut it apart and you're done. You don't have to think of all the lines.
Well, this goes right nicely into a couple of things on your site, which I love. I love your, first of all, anything that any teacher can print off, I'm down with. So that your 10 essential printables page with the you know,
lists,
occupations, objects, but not only that, here's a list of objects and then here's the games you can play, you know, the exercises you can do. And my favorite is showing a character through costuming, the shoe game where you mime on putting on a pair of shoes and that all of a sudden transforms into a character.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very practical, and show, which was that's all we want to do in theater is teach kids to show instead of tell.
Uh-huh.
That's my number one playwriting pet peeve. Show me, don't tell me, show me. And to all of a sudden, you know, you put on a pair of ballerina slippers and you can show a character and about how costuming affects character. And I think that's just fabulous.
Yeah, and that game, so I just came up with the concept because I got a new pair of shoes and I had a shoebox sitting there and I was like, what game can we play with the shoebox? And so I thought, okay, put a take a list of shoes, print it out, cut it apart, put it in the shoebox, and put the shoebox in the middle of the circle, and each kid comes up and they draw, you know, like rubber boots or ballerina slippers, like you said, and then they have to, they read it silently to themselves and then pantomime it, and everybody else has to guess what the pair of shoes were. And then, yes, we can, then you can extrapolate it further and go into developing a character based on that and then little skits. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so as we, we've been chatting away, so as we sort of wrap up here, where do you think drama and education is going?
Well, I'm hoping that the powers that be start to really pay attention. And, you know, there is that movement, the Partnership for the 21st Century. That's in the United States anyway, where business leaders and educational leaders are getting together to encourage putting all the arts back in the programming because they're realizing that they're not getting innovators. The our education system churning out, you know, into the workforce, people who have, like I said before, the ability to synthesize two concepts, collaborate, innovate, and they're recognizing that the arts is the number one way to do that.
Is that true? Is that something that's really, because that's a fantastic concept that's actually happening.
Oh, yes, p21.org.
That's fantastic. Well, because we... you know, with standardized testing, it's teaching kids to learn by rote when that's, which is a lower level thinking. Like we want, as you just said, you know, we need the higher order of thinking, which is creativity, synthesis, analyze, you know?
Oh yeah. It's a legitimate movement. Charles Fidel is a big proponent of that. And he wrote a whole book on it. So I'm hoping that those of us who have selflessly and tirelessly kept the arts alive in the schools at pretty much at our own expense, we'll finally have our day and be recognized for being the brilliant people that we are.
And that everyone will come to our, they will fall to their knees in front of us and genuflect and say, oh my gosh, you were right all along. It's really the arts.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, it would be amazing. Oh, I'm not sure that's going to happen, but you know, it's, the thing is that at some point, hopefully that we're all going to be on, this is going to be on the wrong side of history, you know, that this, you know, learning by rote and that the way that students now are thinking is surpassing this, what is being given to them. And that at some point they're going to stand up and say, I don't want to be taught like this. When that happens, and actually when those people who are in school now start to get into positions of power, hopefully they will look at what's all around and go, this is not the way this has to be. We need thinkers. How do we create thinkers? I'm not sure. I don't know how much I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with I hope that's our future.
There are some pretty fierce debates around assessment now and how exactly, you know, because you can't test for the kind of brilliance that theater teaches. There is no
choice. I know.
It's not multiple choice.
No. Well, and it's all growth. It's like, how do you assess growth? Because that's what happens in a classroom. I mean, you can certainly have seen it. You know, you see a change in a student from day one of class and then, you know, day 100 of class.
Oh, huge. Huge. And the parents and the children's regular classroom teachers tell me, I can't believe what a big difference there I saw. She, like, for example, you know, I have a kid who would never answer questions in class before she took drama, and then she just suddenly started participating in all of the discussions.
I know. I just find it, again, we're preaching to the choir and we're biased, but I think it's a good bias, and I think it's really important. It's important to say over and over and over again, because that's why I think the only way people will hear how important this is for students.
Yes, and those of us who are actually doing the work know it, and we will just continue doing what we do because we know that we're making a huge difference.
And we're rock stars.
And we're rock stars.
Oh, this has been so lovely. I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk here on completely different sides of the continent. And let me just say this again. So this is the dramanotebook.com, all one word. And you also have, is it Drama Notebook on Facebook as well?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I post a free daily drama game every school day. And a lot of them are things that I just made up. So, you know, it's inspiring and fun.
Join Drama Notebook on Facebook to get your free daily game. And I also noted on your website that there is a free 7-day trial. So you can, this is not something that you can, you have to jump into willy-nilly. You can go and see the fantastic stuff for yourself.
Yeah, and from there it's only $10 a month, and you join for as long as you're teaching and cancel when you're done and come back and tell your friends. So I try to make it really affordable for people too, because I know educators are not the richest people on the planet.
Absolutely fantastic. Oh, Jaina, it was so good to talk to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lindsay. This has been delightful.
Awesome. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. Can you help us out? We're asking our customers, be they on Facebook or our email list or right here in our podcast, to fill out a short survey. We want to know why you buy from us, why you don't buy, what you like, and what you're looking for. So far, we've had some great responses. They're so enlightening that Craig and I are actually going to do a podcast in a couple of weeks that address a bunch of questions. Bottom line is we want to be the best company we can be for you. And that means we need to know what's not working, what we can strive toward, and what we have to continue to do. So the survey is anonymous and very quick. Just a couple of questions. How did you hear about Theater Folk? Why do you buy from us? If you don't, why not? What do you like about us? And what would you like us to offer? You'll be able to find the link to the survey in the show notes for this podcast. Lastly, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.